welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Father, we want you to breathe life into the areas of our life that have grown old or cold or dry. Lord, we cannot water ourselves, but we can drink freely of the Spirit that you want to keep pouring into us. And we want to remind our hearts that we have a high priest who understands our weaknesses. And you work all things together for our good. Lord, let each heart be reminded today by this word from you. We thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I am delighted that Josh left town. Oh, I'm sorry. That didn't come out quite right. Let me rephrase that. I'm glad that I get to teach today. Let me put it that way. Go ahead and get out your Bibles if you would. And your note-taking materials and that sort of thing. If you don't have a notebook that you bring to the service, I would encourage you to get one. Also, if you don't have anything today, on the back of the bulletin, there's a small area where you can make some notes. There's also note sheets that are laying on the back. There's stacks of them that you can pick up to take notes, because the reality is that no matter how good the speaker is, and today he just happens to be really, really, really good, no matter how good he is, the reality is that you and I will remember about 10% of what we hear. If we take notes, we'll remember about 20%. If we actually look at those notes during the week, we can up that to 25-27%. But when we're talking about words of life, that's not very much. So do everything that you can do to feed yourself during the week. And one of the ways that I do that is I listen to the podcasts. You get the free podcast every week. You can download the messages from every weekend. You can order for $3 a piece, a CD, from every teaching that we do week after week. We've put some of these together in a series. The Galatians series, Living Set Free, is available now. This series that we're doing on trust will be available in another couple of weeks. So I would encourage you to do that. I would also remind you that the teaching gifts that God puts in members of the body of Christ frequently get expressed through books that teachers write. And so I would encourage you, whether you're an avid reader or not, become one, because you renew your mind, you feed your inner man when you benefit from the teaching gift of somebody you may never meet, but you can benefit from their gift. This is a book that I've fallen in love with just in the past few weeks. It's called The Prodigal God. And it's really opened my eyes in a lot of areas, fed me good food, by Timothy Keller. You can order it online or pick it up at a local bookstore. But those are the kind of things we need to be aware of. Now, we've been talking about trust. We want to continue that today. But as we talk about trust, I just want to give you a visual reminder that we're not talking about blind trust. We're talking about knowing clearly who we are putting our trust in. All right?
Okay, then Lauren's going to catch you.
Close your eyes.
Okay, it's called the trust fall. Okay, trust fall. Ready, set, go.
Not any of my relatives. Open your Bibles to Genesis 22, please. Today, we're going to follow on in our series of trust. The New Covenant is all about trust. The Old Covenant was primarily about rules. The New Covenant is all about trust and about growing our trust in the Father. To do that, we have to be able to answer two very important questions. And if you've read books that I've written or listened to much of my teaching, you've heard me say this again and again. These two simple questions have changed my life, and they keep changing my life. The first question is, what is God really like? Because if we believe that what God primarily is the judge of the whole earth, we're going to read our Bibles very differently than the way He wants us to read them. If we believe, however, that God is the loving Father, then we will read the Bible differently. The second question is, how does He really feel about me? Not about the world, but about me. And those two things always are issues in our life as we grow in our trust. Today, we're going to talk about a word that is not used very often in modern language, though it was used in Old English a lot. It's the word providence. We're going to talk about learning to trust in the providence of God. And this word comes out of the Bible from the phrase, the Lord who will provide. And we find this in Genesis 22. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Genesis 22, beginning in verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here am I, Abraham replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him his two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. There's just so much you would want to say about this story, that Abraham, knowing he was going to offer his son as a living and then dead sacrifice, put the wood that was going to burn him up on his own back. Not unlike Jesus carrying his own cross. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, replied Abraham. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb? I'm not sure if he was getting nervous or what was going on here, but this is a real story. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they had reached the place God told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac. There's no indication that Isaac fought him, even after he realized what was going to happen here momentarily. And he laid him, his only son, the answer to his biggest, most number one prayer, he now laid him bound on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here am I, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up. And there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh. Now in your English translation it says the Lord will provide. In the Hebrew it is Jehovah Jireh. And to this day it is said. Another translation says, and from then on it became a proverb. And here was the proverb among the people of God. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. It's from this story that we get the frequently taught on message in charismatic circles about Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide. But there are some truths about this story that are important for us to understand. In fact, contained in this story, I think, is one of the most important truths, or some of the most important truths, that you and I must be rooted and grounded on. Because Abraham is dealing with an invisible God. Abraham didn't even know what to call him when this whole adventure started. Abraham has been growing in his trust. Now, when you read Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11 condenses down the stories of men like Abraham, women like Sarah, condenses them down to very short sentences. By faith, Abraham did this. By faith, Sarah did this. By faith, Noah did this. But behind those short little sentences are lifelong stories filled with failures, filled with mistakes, filled with unbelief. How many remember what Sarah did the first time God said, I'm going to give you a son? She laughed. And then when God said, well, why did you laugh when I gave you that promise? What did that great woman of faith then say? She lied and said, I didn't lie. She lied to the Almighty. That takes a lot of nerve, I got to tell you. I mean, she lied. You say, well, then why would God work with people like that? Because we have a high priest who understands our weaknesses. And he understands that we are on a journey. And this story takes place after Abraham had been on this faith journey for many, many, many years. And the reason that Abraham was able to do what God has asked him to do at this point in his life without hesitation is because he's already been through numerous failures. He's already been through numerous challenges to his faith, and he failed again and again. Then he'd succeed, then he failed. This journey is frequently three steps forward and two steps back. How many know that is the truth? In fact, it's sometimes three steps forward and four steps back. But that's the truth. And we don't need to pretend that it's anything other than that. But at this point in Abraham's life, he's about 112 years old. He's had many years of walking and developing faith and trust, confidence in God. That's what's interesting to me about this story. One of the things is that God does not call himself Jehovah Jireh. Abraham called God Jehovah Jireh. And for us to fully appreciate what happened in Abraham's understanding of God, we have to understand what this name, Jehovah Jireh, that Abraham called God, really means. It doesn't just mean the Lord will provide. It means something bigger than that. It means something more cosmic than that. And for our faith to rest secure, we have to understand what this name really means. The fullness of this name, Jehovah Jireh, is this. The Lord has seen your need ahead of time and has already sent your answer. Now just imagine this story again of Abraham, Isaac, and the ram. Sometime before Abraham ever got up on that mountain, God spoke to a ram. Somehow or another, God said to a ram wandering around down in the valley, I need you, yeah, you right there, to go up on the top of this mountain. See that thicket over there? No questions, please. Stick your head in that thorn bush so badly that you can't get out. Fortunately, God speaks ram. And the ram, motivated by providence, motivated by God, before Abraham ever knew that he was going to have a serious need, before Abraham ever knew it, God already moved his answer into the thicket. God already did that. So that when Abraham came to realize the seriousness of his need, his answer had already been prepared. You and I can live our lives knowing that the God who lives above and beyond time knows what we're going to need long before we know we have a need. And he will move people all over the globe to be in the right spot at the right moment when you need something that only God can do. That's what the meaning of providence really is. That God knows what I need before I know it, and he begins to orchestrate the circumstances. And we see this throughout the scripture, throughout the Bible. Now, when we talk about providence, let me read this. Give me slide 3. This is the end of this story in Genesis 22, is where we hear about the proverb that became a saying among God's people. And the proverb was this. This name has now become a proverb, it says. And here's the proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. On the mountain. Not before you get to the place of need, but when you get to the place of need, it will already have been prepared for you by God. That's what providence really means. When you get to the place where you need help, help will arrive because God already knew it. Now let's talk about providence. And I want to give you 3 things that you and I absolutely must decide we're going to believe. Let's come on to the next one here. What is this? Slide 5. I'm going to speak slide 5 into existence. Oh, no, I can't do that. We dealt with call those things which be not as though they were last week. Please get the CD. I'm sorry, do we have slide 5? 3 things we must believe? Are you're trying to help me? That's all right. Is everybody ready to take notes? Oh, here we go. And that's kind of hard to read, and I apologize for that. We're going to do better next time. All right, here are the things that you and I are going to have to believe. God's given us the ability to. It's up to us to make the choice. We must choose to believe these 3 things. I don't care who you are, what your life journey is about, where you are on that journey. These 3 things are things that we must root and ground into our lives if we're going to be able to live and grow in our trust with God. Truth number 1, that God is almighty, all-powerful, and he rules over everything. That's easy to say, but it's far more difficult to grow in our faith and confidence that God is almighty, he's all powerful, and he rules over everything. Belief number 2, we must come to believe and fully believe that he is eternal, he is timeless, he is not bound by time. Now we're going to talk about these more in detail in just a moment. He is eternal, he is timeless, and he is not bound by time. And number 3, he values us above all other created things. He values you above all other created things. Now let's talk about these one by one. Number 1, he is almighty, all powerful, and he rules over everything. Whether God controls every event or he allows certain events to happen is something that theologians have argued about since the beginning of time. Would you like to know the answer? You will once you pass from this life to that life. You will then understand things the way God understands. Paul says that when we pass from this life to the eternal life, we will know as we have been known. But you and I are not going to be able to figure out in this life what God causes and what he allows. We're not going to be able to figure that out. But here's what we can figure out, and that is that he is almighty and that he is utterly in control of all things. Now, let me tell you, some many years ago, I taught something that I had heard from somebody else, which I now regret that I taught. I view it as a misguided teaching. But the teaching that I taught many years ago, in all sincerity, went like this. God created everything that is. Then he created Adam and Eve. And he put Adam and Eve in control of his creation. When Adam and Eve sinned, they gave control of the earth and all that was in it to the devil. Now I want to tell you, that is not true. That is not true at all. When the Bible speaks about the devil as being the god of this world, the world there is cosmos. It's not talking about the literal world or the literal animals. It's talking about society and the minds of unregenerated people. That's what the devil is the god of. But from the beginning of the Old Testament to the end of the New Testament, God's people never had any doubt about God's control. In fact, let's look at this. Look at slide number 6. We got slide number 6. This is David speaking. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Is there any doubt there? Is there any exception there? No, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. You and I are not going to be able, with our puny little brains and our limited experiences and knowledge in this life, be able to figure out what God commands to happen or what he simply allows to happen. Nobody in the Bible could figure it out. Job tried to ask God several times, and God's answer was, well, if you can make a raindrop, then I'll tell you how all this works. But the reality is that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. One of the reasons you and I have to absolutely be convinced of that is because God is frequently going to move people around without them ever knowing they're being moved around so that they are right in the spot they need to be when you have a need that they can help solve. Just like God moved that ram up the mountain and stuck him in that thicket bush so he couldn't get away, God is in the business of constantly moving people and circumstances around behind the scenes. 99.9% of the time we are totally unaware of it. But God is maneuvering. God is the cosmic chess player, always several moves ahead, so that you and I can depend on his providence. Go to slide 7. This is Moses speaking to Pharaoh. In the middle of the battle that they had and the plagues that were coming. And Moses says this, as soon as I leave the city, I will lift up my hands and pray to the Lord. Then the thunder and hail will stop. This will prove to you, he's talking to Pharaoh, that the earth belongs to the Lord. God said to Daniel, I am the God who raises up one nation and I put down another. And then God revealed a prophetic procession of nations to Daniel. And the next 600 years of history proved that what Daniel saw prophetically about the nations that would rise and fall happened exactly as he said. Well, how could he know that? Because the God of providence told him that. Because the God who sees ahead of time and orchestrates events to meet the needs of his people saw that, knew that, planned that. And so we could put our confidence in it. Second thing we have to believe, take us to slide 8, is that God is eternal. He is timeless, not bound by time. The reality is that God created time. All you have to do is go to the book of Genesis, first chapter, and it simply says, and the morning and the evening were the first day. But before that first day, God had always been. God made time. He made time for us. We live in a time-space world. One day we will no longer dwell in a time-space world. We will live as God lives, timeless. When I think about this, because my little brain has a hard time wrapping around it, I like to think of it as God looks down on time. God is above time. That's why he can see the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. And it's critical for us to understand that, for us to be convinced of that. So let's let the Word of God convince us of that. Slide 9. This is Acts 15, 18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. From before the beginning of the world, God knew what his plan was going to be. Why? How? Because he lives above and beyond time. And because he does, he sees your need long before that need is ever present in your life. Ephesians 1:11, in him you were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him, listen to this, who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. This is the God that we serve. The God who is above and beyond time. The God who knows the past and the present and the future all at the same time. Now our hearts have to be rooted and grounded in this knowledge. Now we have to believe this. We can choose to believe that the Bible is telling the truth. However, you probably don't want to think about it a lot. Because if you do, smoke may start to come out of your ears. Because it's impossible for us, being bound by space and time, for us to really fully comprehend this. But we can apprehend this truth. There are lots of truths in the Bible that you and I can't understand. But we can apprehend them. And they can become real in our life. I may not be able to explain how electricity gets made and somehow ends up shining light in this room. Well, not may not. I can't even come close to explaining that. But I can comprehend, I can apprehend it, and I can utilize it in my life, and I can depend on it. When I flip the switch, I'm counting on that light coming on, even though I can't explain exactly how that works. In serving God, I can count on the fact that God knows my need before I know that I have a need, and he's already moving circumstances to meet that need for me. Go to slide 10, 1 Peter 1. To God's elect, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkled by his blood. Now this is important. It's important because there are two words that theologians have argued about since the beginning of all of this. And those are the words foreknowledge and predestination. The difference between what God knows beforehand, foreknowledge, and predestination, meaning what God commands is going to happen ahead of time. And what the Bible clearly teaches, if we'll just look at it as it's simply written, is that because God knows everything that's going to happen before it happens, he knew that you were going to choose to put your faith in the offering of his son. Before the earth was ever made, he knew you, and he knew the choice you were going to make. He didn't make you make that choice. He gave you free will to choose what you would. But because he knew what you were going to choose, he then began to predestine certain events in your life that would all work together for your good. The Apostle Paul on Mars Hill, speaking to a bunch of heathens, said, let me tell you about the true God. The true God made everybody who exists from one man. Not only that, he determined where they would all live on the face of the earth. So they would have the very best opportunity to seek after him and find him. There are over 7 billion people on the earth right now. God knows every single one of them and has predetermined where they would be born. That's the God that we serve. How does he juggle all that? I don't have a clue. But I live with the trust that he does. Look at verse 12. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm getting ahead of myself. We need to see this. Slide 11. Slide 11. This is verse Romans 8:28, and you know this passage, but look at these two words here. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now look at these two words, how they're used. For those God foreknew, he also predestined. Now think about this. God foreknew that you would put your faith in his son. So because he foreknew that, God ordered something is going to happen in your life. What is it according to this? You are going to end up being made in the image of whom? Of God's son. You are going to be conformed. He predestined that you're going to end up looking like his son. That has already been predestined by God. Now, not God is not making you against your will. He just knew before you ever existed in his foreknowledge that you were going to make that choice. But once he knew you were going to make that choice, he now begins to arrange the affairs of your life so that all things work together for your good. Now let's be clear. All things are not good. There are terrible things that happen in this fallen world. All of creation is groaning. Because of the curse, because of the fallen nature, not only of man, but the Bible says all of creation was thrust into a fallen condition. But God, who sees everything ahead of time, predestines, because he already knew what you were going to choose, now he begins to predestine the aspects of your life. Quickly, turn in your own Bibles to Psalm 139, Psalm 139. I want you to see this for yourself. If you underline in your Bible, now's a good time to do it. And you know the saying, if your Bible is too expensive to write in, buy a cheaper one. Bring it next week. Psalm 139, beginning at verse 1. Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my every thought when far away. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I am going to say before I say it. Say that with me, would you? You know what I'm going to say before I say it. One more time. You know what I'm going to say before I say it. Now, how can he know that? Because he lives above and beyond time. He is timeless. He is not bound by time. You both proceed and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to know. And then if you jump over to verse 16 in that chapter, he says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Before you were ever born. God knew everything you were going to say, everything you were going to do. He knew every place you were going to go. He knew all of that. But because he gives human beings free moral choice, he acts out of his foreknowledge. And when he sees who's going to make a choice to put their faith in his son, then his predestined will begins to operate in our lives, moving us around the chessboard of life and moving other people and things around so that when we are on the mountain of need, there at the moment of need, it will be provided. But it won't start there. It will have started long before we ever knew we needed a ram. I'm waiting for this to jump on you. I was speaking this several years ago in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And a week later, I got an email from a family and they wrote a long, lengthy email about terrible life struggles that had happened to them and what they were going through and how after that night, they just began to pray, Lord, we don't have a clue what we should do. We don't have a clue how we should work to try to solve this problem. We don't know what to do, but we're just asking that since you already knew long before this happened, you already knew what we needed. We're just asking you to keep growing our faith, to believe that you have a ram stuck in the thicket somewhere for us. And about 3 weeks after the meeting that they had been in with us, somebody that had they had known years ago, had been moved from one end of the continent to the other end of the continent, and they actually ran into each other at a mall. And 15 minutes later, the greatest need this family had ever faced in their life was met. This guy happened to be a jeweler. So when I saw him a couple of months after that at another meeting, he had made me a ring. I know you can't see it, but this ring is a ram's head. And this ram is caught in a thicket. And the sticker briar branches are wrapped around the horns. And when he gave me this, he said, I made one for me and I made one for you. So every time we both look at that, we will be reminded that our God sets in motion our need long before we ever know we need an answer. He starts it in motion so that we arrive at the right place at the right time. And that's our confidence. That's what providence is all about. Let's move on a little faster here. I've got to cover this and get to the finish, the heart for each of us. You know, we could go through the Bible and see all kinds of stories. I really enjoy the story of Samson. I don't know how many of you saw the TV series, The Bible. You might have been shocked to see Samson there in the color of his skin. That's actually very accurate because of where Samson was born and raised. But I love the story of Samson for two reasons. One, because Samson was a judge in Israel. Samson was used mightily by God. And Samson had a lot of problems. He had a lot of weaknesses. And he is listed in Hebrews 11 as a hero of faith. But one of the stories that I love the most about Samson is after he had done a great defeat against the Philistines, and then the Philistines had added to their army tens of thousands of soldiers, Samson's friends got nervous and said, look, we're all going to be killed. The only answer is they want you, so we're going to bind you with rope and we're going to turn you over to them in order to save our necks. And Samson said, okay. So his friends tied him up and took him to the Philistines' camp and said, look, we're going to give you Samson, our brother. And you can do what you will with him as long as you'll leave us alone. And they said, great, he's the guy that's been giving us all this trouble. So thanks for the gift. We'll take it from here. And at that moment, the Bible says that the rope that tied Samson up suddenly turned into what appeared to be charred flax, weaker than a wheat stem that had been burned. He breaks out of his bondage, looks around, and sees a donkey carcass that had been laying there so long that all the skin and hair had rotted away. That would take a few years. But for a few years, that donkey carcass had been laying there until it was completely stripped of everything. Samson reaches over, picks up the jawbone, and in the next verse it says he killed 1,000 Philistines. And then I love the end of it because the end of it says, and then Samson said, with a donkey's jawbone I have made donkeys out of them. Give me the slide, would you? You know the one I want? Two or three years before Samson ever knew he was going to be in trouble, God said, hey, you. Yeah, you right there in the middle. Start walking that way. And keep on walking until you get down in that valley. And then just lay down and die. Because in two or three years, my man is going to need a weapon. Listen, that is the God of providence. Jesus, should we pay taxes? Yes. Well, we don't have any money. Well, go down to the lake and catch a fish. How many have already been dip netting? No doubt you've caught many salmon with money in their mouth. Go down and catch a fish, open its mouth, and there will be a coin that will be equal to the taxes that you need to pay. I can only imagine a few days earlier, God speaks to a fish. See that shiny thing laying there? Swallow that. If fish talk, it would say, why? Because in a couple of days, one of my men is going to need some money. But this is God, who living above and beyond time, is constantly moving things around for us. One day Jesus said to his disciples, we need to go to Galilee, but on the way we need to go to Samaria. And his men said, but Samaria is not on the way to Galilee. He said, yeah, I know, but I need to go through Samaria. And you know the story. They got there in the middle of the afternoon. All the women would come first thing in the morning to get water. But when they came to the well just outside of the city, there was one woman that came. She came because she was an immoral woman, several divorces, breaks up in her life, and other women didn't want to be around her, and she was embarrassed to be around other women. So she would come in the afternoon. She was the only woman there. But before Jesus ever left to go there, he knew there was a divine appointment. There's going to be somebody that has a need, and I already know when and where they're going to be. We need to get there when she gets there so that I can do something critical in her life. This is the God of providence. The God who sees ahead of time what we need. When this auditorium collapsed, God already knew that there was going to be a school that was going to lease from us and become a wonderful source of revenue for us to later on build the things that had been in our heart to build for a long, long time. But we didn't have the money or means to do it. God already saw that before the building ever fell down. This past week, we had to get the final approval for everything, and Josh and all those guys have been working so hard. They hit a concrete wall. But it just so happened that the one man that had the authority to make the final decision just happened 18 months ago to be sitting in his car at the stoplight, right over at the corner, at the exact moment that the building collapsed. 18 months ago. He was just sitting there waiting for the light to turn, and the building collapsed. He ended up running over here, seeing what was going on, talking to Josh and Frank, some of the other leaders. 18 months later, when we hit a wall and we don't know what we're supposed to do, he suddenly shows up and says, pass it. Let him have it. Everything's okay. 18 months ago, God knew we were going to hit a wall and need somebody with authority who would say, let it be done. God knew that. He said, well, you know, those are wonderful coincidences. Those aren't coincidences. My goodness, that is the sovereign God who looks above and beyond time. Our youngest daughter, Amanda, was 15 years old when the doctor said, you have contracted a very rare form of scoliosis. And in 4 months, her backbone went from straight to a 49-degree curve. Number one surgeon in Washington University had never seen anything like it before, but said if we don't operate in the next 2 months, she's going to be crippled for the rest of her life in a wheelchair. We're going to have to operate right now. We said, all right, let's do it. And he said, well, I don't have an opening until next Tuesday. So now it's Thursday. We said, well, all right, that's fine. That weekend, we happened to be scheduled to go to the wedding of a dear friend of ours. Now, Amanda was 15 years old. They were going to put a 21-inch scar, open her, slit her down her backbone, 21 inches, spread her open like you would gut a moose, put two 12-inch titanium rods, go around on the inside and cut out three ribs so that her shoulder would come back down. And my 15-year-old baby was terrified. She was terrified. And we're praying for peace, and she's scared. On Saturday, we go to a wedding. As we're sitting there watching the procession of bridesmaids coming down, these ladies were wearing these beautiful bridesmaid dresses that were very low cut. They were modest, but they were low cut in the back. And you could see about half or a little more half of the back of this dress. It was modest, but you could see the back. And as the last bridesmaid walked down the aisle, Amanda and I looked at her, and there was a scar that ran from the top of her, or the bottom of her neck, all the way down underneath that dress. Soon as the wedding was over, Amanda said, I'd like to talk to her. So we pull her off to the side and we said, look, we don't want to embarrass you, but this is a situation with our daughter. And she's very nervous. And she'd just like to hear about your surgery. You had the same thing she did. And the lady starts crying. We said, well, we're sorry, we need to be embarrassed. She said, oh, I'm not embarrassed. I'm just deeply moved because I had this surgery 7 years ago, and for 7 years, I've been so embarrassed of this scar, I have never one time allowed anybody but my doctor and my husband to ever see it. And when I saw the dress that I was supposed to wear in this wedding, I initially said, I can't be in the wedding. And then I felt God speak to me and say, you need to wear that dress and not be ashamed. Do you hear what I'm saying? Years before, my daughter needed a reassurance that God would work all things together for her good. Take rotten things and work them together. Years before that happened, somebody else who had a similar experience, and God maneuvered it all around so that we all ended up at the exact right moment, at the exact right time, and God could meet us in that situation. This is what we must root and ground our lives on. That God does not wait until we get in trouble and then say, oh, there's trouble, I better do something. That's not the God we serve. The God we serve lives above and beyond time. And he already knows what we're facing. He already knows what we're going to have to deal with. And when we root and ground our heart in the reality that before the foundation of the world, God already knew us and knew everything about what we were going to struggle, then we'll find ourselves trusting. When we can't see the answer, but we trust that God who does see has already been moving things around for us. One of the good news aspects is that God is going to treat us not as a judge, but as a loving father. And as a loving father, that means that God's going to meet our needs as he, as the perfect father, knows best. He's going to do what you do for your children. You're not going to meet all your needs for your children the way they want them all met, because they don't know enough. They don't know enough. They don't know enough. While we were greeting everybody, we put a picture up that's off of our ministry website and a quote that I made when I was teaching in Asia. And the quote was, this is how I pray. I pray for what I think is best. And then I rest in the knowledge that God will do what I would have prayed for if I know everything he knows. Because that's the kind of father that we have. We are supposed to ask. This is what God has called us to do. Bring our needs to him. But then we can rest in the trust of knowing that the God of providence, the God who lives above and beyond time, who knows you have a need long before you know it, he is already moving people, things, circumstances around so that in the mountain of your need, it will be provided. That is Jehovah Jireh. Maybe the most important thing of all is that the Apostle John in the book of Revelation says, I looked and I saw a lamb who had been slain before the foundations of the world were laid. Because God lives above and beyond time, before he ever made Adam and Eve, knowing ahead of time the choice they were going to make, he sacrificed his son in eternity. Now, what played out in real life was on top of a hill. He walked up that hill carrying the wood upon which he was going to be sacrificed. And the shadow of Abraham and Isaac on top of Mount Moriah became the substance of Jesus walking up Calvary, carrying the wood that he was going to be sacrificed on. And God, who before the beginning of the world had already made the offering that would set you and I forever free and make us forever perfect in his sight, now plays out in real time on a mountain. God did provide. On your mountain, God will provide. He is almighty. He rules over everything. He is not bound by time. He lives above and beyond time. And he's working everything after his good purpose. And you are more valuable to him than any other created thing. In Matthew 6, Jesus asked the question of his disciples, aren't you more valuable? Every time you're in a need, the question comes back again, am I more valuable? do I mean more to the Father than this problem? And the Holy Spirit inside of you wants to give a resounding Abba, Father. Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit in you is wanting to cry out, Abba, Father. On your mountain of trouble, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but this I know. There is a ram caught around here somewhere. And it's for my need. Would you stand up with me, please? I am well aware that some of us in this room are facing gut-wrenching, heart-breaking struggles. I'm well aware that some of us in this room have run completely out of resources. And we've exhausted everything that we know to do. And if somebody would just tell us what to do, no matter what it was, we'd do it, but we don't know. But the Holy Spirit wants to rise up inside of us, crying out, Abba Father, Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide. Last week we talked about the fact that He is the author and finisher of our faith. How many right now feel like you need the author to write a few more pages of faith in your life? You need that right now for what you're facing. All right, come on, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, You offered up Your Son as a sacrifice for us before we knew we needed a sacrifice. And through that act, He became the author and the finisher of our faith. So as we stand here right now, we ask You, author and finisher of our faith, to write another couple of pages of assurance that Jehovah Jireh has already set in motion the answer to our problem. Oh God, would You birth more faith in us now? The faith that comes from God. Birth it in us. Write it in the pages of our life so that we cry out, Abba, Father, until we see the ram that is caught to be the answer for our needs. In Jesus' name, amen. As you go home this afternoon, meditate on the fact that the Lord Jesus is writing more faith in the pages of your life. You don't have to struggle for it. It will be a gift from the Father who loves you. Amen? Amen. 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 All right. We have to take all of this down this afternoon. So we need those who can to stick around for a few more minutes. Help us stack up all.